We'll get to all of those things. But Father has been all over me this week.
Yes.
To the point where I had a nice follow-up message. Distractions, 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 part three. And trying to put together notes, I felt like I was in an argument. I couldn't think clearly. Everything was jumbled. And so I put on the music that I knew we were going to be playing this morning. And I just sat in my chair. And this compassion just came over me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
And then I understood that I was thinking one thing, but Father wanted to do something else.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And because this is a place where the Spirit of God is directing, yeah, I'm going to let him direct.
Amen.
I know we have stream and all of that stuff. I'm telling you right now, singers and musicians, get up off of it and come in.
That's right. Yeah.
Because I am not going to be restricted,
yeah,
by videos. You can whatever you have to activate to record, you can record. Because I'm not going to leave till I'm finished. And I'm telling you, this has never happened to me before.
Thank you, Lord.
And I like it.
Glory to God.
Because God is moving on behalf of his people.
Yes.
Usually, distractions will come to try and get you off track. And yesterday, there wasn't any game on I wanted to watch. There wasn't a movie. There was nothing else going on that I wanted to do. But as I said earlier, I just couldn't seem to center in. And then I started recalling some of the conversations I had this week. Folks were calling and telling me people were throwing demons on them. I went to the barber yesterday. That's why I'm nice and trim. I went to the barber, and he started telling me about what folks are saying about his son. And he wanted to know, is that true? Can demons possess? Can demons cause sickness? They absolutely can, and we've been ignoring that possibility. We're trying to get healed. We already healed, but we're trying to get healed. And so I figured the best way, well, let me say this first. I got a call from a member, 92, concerned that people in her house are throwing demons on her, and it's keeping her sick. I said to her, first of all, don't mean to offend anybody, but it's a little punk butt demon that would pick on a 92-year-old woman. You want to pick on somebody? Come at me. Come at someone that's not frail. Come on someone who can send you with their mouth where you need to go. When I said that, she started laughing. But I need you to go with me, please, to Mark 16. First, if you don't mind, I need to make the font a little bigger. Let go. Yeah, Mark 16. Jesus was still later. He appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, listen to this, folks, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. I'm in the New Living, I apologize. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. What's the condition here? And if you believe, what will happen? Now, growing up as a believer here, I heard a lot of things about the law of first mention. You know, how when God says something first, that's important. I haven't found any definitive answer to that either way. But I know if someone says something, when I say something first, that's what's in foremost in my mind. And the first thing Jesus said, after he said, these signs will follow, he said, they will cast out demons. And I started thinking, why would he say that? He must know something. Because it was important for him to first say, you will cast out demons in my name. When you call upon that name, the very atmosphere will have to change. You'll be transformed. You'll never be the same. He didn't say you'll cast them out of believers. He didn't say you'll cast them out of unbelievers. He said you will cast them out. So why are we complaining that our neighborhoods are demon-possessed when it's your neighborhood? Why are you saying that your child is demon-possessed? It's your child. Why are we saying that? Jesus said, we will cast out devils in his name. He continued, you'll speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. They will drink anything poisonous. It won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Then it says, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking to them, he was taken up into heaven and set down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And listen to this, folks. The disciples went everywhere and preached. And the Lord worked through them, say through them, not for them, worked through them, confirming what they said with many miraculous signs. That means whatever the disciples said in line with their instructions, Jesus confirmed it with miraculous signs. But they had to say it, and then they had to do it. Pastor Ed's been teaching about words. It's no accident. You have to say it. Luke 10. We're going to get to where I'm going shortly. I'm going to say what he wants me to say and do what he wants me to do. Then we're going to go home. But you'll be transformed. You'll never be the same. Luke 10, starting at verse 1. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. It says, now after this, the Lord chose and appointed 70 others and sent them out ahead two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to come. Verse 4, carry no purse, no provisions bag, no change of sandals. Refrain from retarding your journey, by saluting and wishing anyone well along the way. He didn't want them to be distracted. Verse 7. Stay on in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. Eating and drinking what they provide. Eating and drinking what they provide, not what you want. Eating and drinking what they provide. Speaking with Dr. Pei, they were provided with some interesting stuff. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Verse 9. And heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come close to you. Now go to verse 17. Because the 70 went out and did what Jesus said. In verse 17, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Didn't he say, in my name, you'll cast out demons? And the 70 did that, and they returned with joy, saying, even the demons. They didn't expect that. Yeah, we healed the sick. Yes, we did this, but even the demons are subject to us in your name. Say, even the demons. Now, this next part, folks, is very important, and we seem to forget it daily. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall by any means harm you. I've given you authority and power. I give you the right to say it and the right to do it. Authority and power. I've given you physical and mental strength and ability over anything that the enemy's got. So why are you saying the devil's tormenting me? You have physical and mental strength and ability over all the power he possesses. All of it. There isn't anything the devil does that should cause us any grief. Why? You're distracted by what you're going through and forgetting who you are. We have to stop being distracted by what we're going through and remember who we are. And nothing shall in any way harm you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice as this. Don't get excited because I've given you power to whip Satan. Rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven. Now that you got the preliminary, here's the meat of what he wants to say. Luke 13. Because we need to know what we're looking at. We need to know what we're dealing with. My car runs out of gas. I don't need to be at the air pump. I need to know what's going on. King James Version, verse 10. I'm going to share it. You know I'm going to share it in the Passion Translation in a little bit. And he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had what? A spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity. That means she had a demon on her. She had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. and was bowed together and could no wise lift herself up. I mean, she was, and she couldn't lift herself up. Have you ever felt that something was just weighing you down? Have you? Be honest. Did you ever think that it was, may have been a spirit of infirmity holding you down? 18 years, and you're trying to get up and you can't, you're trying to get up and you can't. What happens? You resolve to yourself, well, this is my lot in life. Thank God he made a way for me to get around so I can still have some semblance of life. But when you're that weighed down by a spirit of infirmity, what's the best life you can have? Maybe you get up to here and you're happy. 18 years. And when Jesus saw her, verse 12, he called her and said, he called her and opened his mouth and said something. He said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. That's what he said. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The first thing Jesus did when he saw her was speak something. And he spoke what he wanted to happen. He didn't say, woman, I'm going to lay my hands on you and you'll be loosed. He said, woman, thou art loosed. Then he laid hands on her. And guess what he didn't do? He never addressed the spirit of infirmity. He never addressed that. Why? It doesn't matter if the gas pump is there, if there ain't no gas flowing out of it. The owner will come and remove it because it's useless. Jesus, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Jesus didn't care who was causing the issue. He said, this issue's got to go. And if the issue has to go, then whatever is causing it has to go also. Has to go. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Well, if he was giving instructions, he was working. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Now, listen carefully to this part. First time I heard this, it was then Pastor Price shared this. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? This is what I want you to understand about that, folks. This woman was a daughter of Abraham. What does that mean? She had a covenant. She was in covenant with God. A spirit of infirmity attached itself to her and did what distractions want to do, distract you from your identity. so concerned about what's troubling you, you forget who you are. Jesus said, this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, meaning she's not supposed to be in this condition because of her covenant. You're not supposed to be in that condition because of your covenant. And it's time we started realizing we're covenant children. The woman had a right to be healed. Passion Translation says a woman with a disabling spirit. One Sabbath day, while Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he encountered a seriously handicapped woman. I like that he used that adjective, because we think things get so big, they're beyond hope. Jesus encounters, according to Passion Translation, a seriously handicapped woman. She was crippled and had been double over for 18 years. Her condition was caused by a demonic spirit of bondage that had left her unable to stand up straight. That makes it clear. When Jesus saw her condition, he called her over and gently laid his hands on her. Said, woman, you are free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit. Instantly, she stood straight and tall and overflowed with glorious praise to God. Overflowed with glorious praise to God. In verse 16, it says, if you do this for your animals, that's wrong. What's wrong with allowing this beloved daughter of Abraham, who's been bound for Satan these 18 long years, to be untied and set free on the Sabbath? I looked up spirit of infirmity. And I found that phrase used once in the King James Version. We read it earlier. But it said, then I looked up spirit. It said, used of demons or evil spirits who were conceived as inhabiting the bodies of men and causing a seemingly incurable disease. So it's a being that attaches itself to you and what gets you to believe you have something that's serious and uncurable. The spirit of infirmity is also the disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone, and it causes you to think what it thinks. That means the spirit of infirmity says, I'm binding you these 18 years, and you think I'm going to be bound forever. You go in the healing line. Someone lays hands on you. That spirit of infirmity says nothing happened to you, and you say, nothing happened. That's why you go from healing line to healing line to healing line. Because one of these days, the person with the right anointing for what you have is going to come by. Well, I found something. I made a discovery. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe. So if the person is a believer, they the right person. This woman was a covenant child, and Satan had her bound 18 years, thank you. And whether you realize it or not, folks, this is what the Lord said to me, whether you realize it or not, the spirit of infirmity will cause you to think that nothing is going to change. But we can sing a song. When I call upon that name, the very atmosphere will have to change. We'll be transformed and we'll never be the same. That spirit of infirmity doesn't want you to think that because it doesn't think that. It wants its thoughts to become your thoughts. And I'm saying no more. I'm glad some of you like that. I'm saying no more. Jesus saw the woman, he called her, and he never addressed the spirit. He told the condition, get out of here. And it had to go. He didn't care how it goes. He could have called Uber or Lyft or anybody else. It didn't matter. He had to go. Folks, God told me to do what Jesus did. And you all know me. I'm only going to say those things God told me to say or do those things he told me to do. He said, don't concern yourself with the time, with the music, with anything else. And then he asked him, what did Jesus do? I said, Jesus called them up, spoke to them, and then laid hands on them. And that's what I'm going to do. You've had these nagging things. Feel like you can't get rid of it. That's going to be, get down here right now. Right now. If there's anything we can legally play, fine. If there's not, fine. Doesn't say that the band in the synagogue struck up music. Don't believe that spirit telling you right now, you've walked down there before and nothing's changed. Nothing's going to change this time. Everyone say, we're going to call upon that name, and the very atmosphere is going to change. We'll be transformed. We'll never be the same. And it's by the power of his holy name. Deacon Phyllis. Come on, sir, get up here. This isn't Woman's Day. Unless you just want to stay bound. You folks pray in the Holy Ghost like it's you. One of the things that God showed me, or told me, would be more accurate, when I was asking about that, he said, oh, yeah. There's spirits of infirmity. There's spirits of more than just infirmity. There's spirits of stubbornness. When you're wondering why you won't do what you know you should do, you've yielded to a spirit of stubbornness. But in my studies, I found out that there's a variety of spirits that are at the enemy's disposal. That's why it's important to understand that Jesus gave us power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. All of it. So it doesn't matter what category of demon it is. It's still a created being. It was created by the adversary to cause you harm. And God told us through Isaiah, the weapon that has been formed against you will not be allowed to prosper. Not be allowed. Well, it feels like you're being allowed. I'm here. It's not allowed. You just have to be obedient. Stand up tall. taller. That's the way you walk. And the reason I can say that is because, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Tall, giving praise. If you look up, your head has to stay up. See, I believe the reason you get bowed down is the enemy wants you to look at him. And you want to look down, that's fine, but when you look down, you should see him going like this because he's under your feet. He doesn't want you to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. He wants you to look other places. Please come, because we're getting close to letting the service go back to its regular order. And I was going to say, it's going to grieve me that you chose to leave here without being changed. But God said, no, it's not going to grieve you, son, because you did what I told you to do. Had a conversation. I said, Father, but I have the right to bind that spirit from around that gentleman. And he said, it has to be 100% him. Because he has to know that the same spirit that has you bound, it's what's keeping you in your seat. And standing and walking away from the seat up to this point of deliverance demonstrates the power you have over that spirit of infirmity. It demonstrates that the devil can't stop you from anything that you want to do. Can't stop you. It lets you know there's no God as big as yours and as big as mine. Well, that song called Greater Promise You Just Can't Find. It makes no difference what the devil tries. There's no God as big as mine.
Glory to God.
Well, I'm just going to ask you, sir, to just do me one favor. Don't come to me in the lobby and tell me I was the one. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. Because I don't want to have to put down any thoughts. I don't want to have to think, well, why didn't you come? Why didn't? I don't want to do that. I want you whole. I want you healed. I want you to be free from that infirmity. And right now is the time. I don't know who you are out there online, but we're going to point our hands toward you, and we're going to say, sir, woman, be loosed from thine infirmity. And that open hand symbolizes me laying my hands on you. And you can put in the comment section, write us and let us know just what spirit you were delivered from today, because you were delivered. You should be jumping up and down.
Amen.
They should see all sorts of funny characters on the memo line. Hallelujah. Give them crazy praise. Praise them like you just won Powerball. Hallelujah. Those of you that were made free today, you stand up and give them praise. Hallelujah.
Wonderful.